So we find ourselves on this Lenten journey, making our way through these 40 days. Here we are on the third Sunday in Lent. And one of the images for this journey that we are on during the Lenten season is that of going into the wilderness. Back on the first Sunday in Lent, we heard about Jesus being driven by the Spirit out into the wilderness, that place of wild terrain, that place of solitude where he was alone, that place where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. It was also the place, the wilderness, where Jesus was tempted, where he heard those voices coming to him through Satan, tempting him to make bread from stones. You don't need to be hungry. To seize all the power that could be his. To worship Satan and be given dominion over all the kingdoms of the earth. The wilderness can be like that. The wilderness can be that place where we can go, be it either literally going away somewhere, or in this Lenten season, carving out places of time, places of quiet, places where we can withdraw from the usual activity of our lives. And when we do that, when we go into the wilderness, several things can happen. One is, we might create the space to hear God's voice and God's call to us. The other is, in that solitude and in that silence, we might hear all the various voices which are within us. And there may be voices we don't especially want to hear. During these days of Lent, I have been reading, as I do some years, a book of meditations by Martin Smith, an Episcopal priest, spiritual director, retreat leader. It's a book called A Season of the Spirit. And throughout this week, his meditations have talked about that very question, that question of those voices within us, and what do we do? How do we address them? How do we contend with them? And Martin Smith makes the contention that within each of us is an entire world, that we are microcosms of all of God's creation, made up of the same matter, of the same molecules, and that also within each of us is the fullness of humanity, that in those voices that we might hear within us are the best of what it is to be human, those voices of love, of compassion, of mercy, of longing for deep relationship with God. But then, if we're honest, there are also other voices. Voices not unlike those temptations that Jesus experienced in the wilderness. Voices leading us from putting God at the center of our lives. Voices which may be less than loving. Voices which may even have harsh things to say about ourselves, even though these voices are our own and within us. So the challenge then is, in the midst of all that we find in us, to embody that love of God, including towards ourselves. Henry Nouwen, who is an author, was a priest, wrote extensively on the interior Christian life. When he was for a time teaching at Yale University, met a young writer, 20 years his junior, who was not churched, who said to him, "What is this thing, this faith that you have, Henry Nouwen? I want you to tell me about it." And so out of that came a book that Henry Nouwen wrote called Life of the Beloved. And as Henry Nouwen began to think about that question of what is this faith, what is this life to which we are called, he came to realize that in his experience, one of the greatest impediments for us in the West can be knowing that we are beloved. In this book, the starting point is the baptism of Jesus. When Jesus goes to the waters of the Jordan, just before he goes into the wilderness, and the Holy Spirit descends upon him, and God says, "You are my Son, the Beloved." And Henry Nouwen contends that just as Jesus is the Beloved, so you and I are the Beloved of Jesus. We are the Beloved of God. But sometimes we have great difficulty believing that, accepting that, living that. And in fact, we can have voices within us. Henry Nouwen says part of what can happen is we can have parts of ourselves that say, "I am no good. I deserve to be pushed aside, forgotten, rejected, and abandoned." We can have those voices that are not loving towards ourselves. that might wonder, how can God love us? That might wonder, how can I have worth? This morning, we have quite an extraordinary gospel, which we don't get to hear all that often. It's that story of the woman at the well. And I was put in mind of these questions of worthiness, of who is loved, who is at the margins, and who is brought into the center. Because this woman that Jesus talks with, this woman he meets at the well, is by all definitions an outsider. First of all, she is a woman, and Jesus should not be talking to a woman alone without her husband there. He should not have acknowledged her and interacted with her. But more than that, she's not just a woman. She's also a Samaritan. And for long-standing historical reasons, the Jews and the Samaritans did not interact with one another, and they were suspicious of each other. She's a woman who is not named. She presumably has no social position and standing, is likely not educated. Some commentators and scholars tried to create a questionable past for her, although there's not really evidence of that. She did have a lot of husbands, but we don't know the context. And Jesus doesn't seem to pay much attention to why she had so many husbands. But take this all together, and she is someone at the margins. She is someone that Jesus would have had every right and compulsion to just walk by and ignore. But he doesn't. He doesn't ignore her, and in fact, he asks her for a drink of water. He's been traveling with his disciples and now moving through Samaritan territory. It's hot, he's thirsty, he asks the woman for a drink. I don't know if the woman could have imagined where that conversation would go in such a simple request, because it quickly turns, as we heard, from Jesus asking for a drink from this deep well to Jesus offering the woman living water. Water that will assuage all her thirst. Water that wells up into eternal life. Water that wells up into that life which is rooted in deep relationship with God. And in the process of this conversation, the woman has growing awareness. She has growing awareness of just who this one she is talking to is. He moves in her eyes from being a man she's interacting with to being a prophet. He told me everything I have done. And then as they talk more, she comes to see him as the Messiah, the Christ, as God in her midst. She is one whose eyes are opened to the reality of who it is that stands before her. And what she does with that is she leaves the bucket there and she goes back to her village and she says, "Come and see. I may have met the Messiah." She goes and gets the others and brings them. And through her, they come, they talk with Jesus, they invite him to stay for 2 days, and we are told that many come to believe through her first initial witness, many come to believe that Jesus is the Savior. So this woman has this transformation. And part of that transformation is she brings that past to her. She is honest about her past. And Jesus doesn't judge her. There isn't shame in that. And in fact, Jesus loves her as she is, where she is, and invites her into that relationship, that deep abiding relationship God desires for all of us. That God is not one to keep us locked into the hurts or the shame of the past, but rather to help us to embrace it and to move into a new reality, to set us free, free to love ourselves as God loves us, free to claim that identity as the beloved, and then free to follow. In this call to follow, in this call to embrace ourselves, God also gives us all we need to say yes, to do this. We have in our first lesson that story, which perhaps is familiar to you, of the people of Israel. They have left slavery in Egypt. They're traveling through the wilderness, and they're giving Moses a hard time. "We're thirsty. Moses, why did you take us out into this wilderness?" It's one of several times that the people on their journey begin to wonder if life wasn't better in slavery. At least they have water there. And so they're saying to Moses, you know, we're thirsty. We don't like this. And Moses says to God, what am I supposed to do with these people? And so Moses strikes the rock at God's direction and out comes water. Now God could have said, I just delivered you all from slavery. Is that not enough? You're now complaining to me that you're thirsty? But God meets them where they are, instructs Moses to strike that rock, and provides them with water which satisfies their thirst. Provides them with water which is right where they are. So this call, this invitation to this honesty in this wilderness season of Lent comes with it that promise that God gives us all we need to embrace that honesty, to accept ourselves, to love ourselves, all we need to say yes to this journey, yes to coming and seeing and then going and telling others. So I wonder, as we sit gathered here on this third Sunday in Lent, who are the outsiders of our day? Who are those people that we might be quite happy just to ignore or to avoid? How might we reach out to them? How might we talk with them? How might we extend that invitation to come and see? Because I think this gospel has implications both for us in our own thirst, personally, in our relationship with God, with ourselves and one another, but it also has implications for us as followers of Jesus. Like that woman, we're called to go out and to witness to all that God has done. Witness to this God who gives us eternal life, satisfying all our thirsts, satisfying all that separates and alienates us from God and from one another. So where are those places that we might go to tell what we have seen and heard and experienced, to tell how God has reached out to us, how God has touched, transformed, and healed us? Jesus tells the disciples in our gospel today that the fields are ripe for harvesting. They're ripe for gathering fruit for eternal life. And Jesus tells the disciples, I sent you to reap that which you did not labor. We too are sent to reap what we have not labored for. We are sent to bear that witness of Jesus to this world, a world which is full of thirst, where people are forgotten and ignored, where people search for connection to other people. They feel lonely, isolated. Where people thirst for the connection to God, for deep connection, relationship with the holy. Where people thirst for economic justice and the means to make a living where they can support themselves and families. People thirst for a world where violence and oppression end. And so on this day, may we come before God honestly, trusting God, that in the wilderness we can be honest about who we are, that God loves us where we are at this point, in this moment, even with our past, even with all that we bring, knowing that it is all caught up in Jesus had redeemed and healed. And let us go forth, inviting others to come and see that the deep thirst of this world might be assuaged by the eternal life offered us in Jesus. May we all come to that living water and drink and never thirst again. Amen.